The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to our time of worship this week. We're thrilled that you have made it here from wherever you're tuning in. Because it's the first Sunday of the month, Diane will lead us later in the service in the sacrament of Holy Communion. At St. Stephen's, we practice what is called an open table, which simply means that you get to examine your relationship with Jesus. And if you decide that you love the Lord, then you are welcome at his table. So now is a good time, if you haven't already done so, to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers, and wine or juice, so that you can fully participate later in the service. Would you pray with me? Jesus, Son of God, we gather together in spirit today, longing to know you more. To hear your voice and know your heart is our greatest desire. Jesus, Son of God, we long to have a sense of belonging in your kingdom by helping others to know of your great love and care for them. Jesus, Son of God, we bring our weaknesses, our flaws, and our waywardness to you and ask that you purify us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Transform us in this time of worship more into your likeness, to be your people of truth and grace. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Friends, Christ came into this world to show us the way back to God, step by step. We light the Christ candle here and at home, as a reminder that we have been tasked with the work of showing the world who Jesus is, so that he might bring them also.
Good morning. Please join me in saying together our prayer of confession. Loving God, you surround us and call us to your ways of bringing life and healing, not just to us, but to others and to the world beyond us. Yet we struggle and strain at your leading. We tend to prefer to do things our way, and we imagine that we have the strength and capabilities to do things just as well ourselves. Forgive us for this, and help us to see that these thoughts can lead us away from you and into the grip of other powers. Set us free. Open our hearts and minds to see your way, Jesus, as the way to life for us and for all. Teach us once again to love as you love. In your name we pray. Amen. In our reading today, we will hear Jesus say, "Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins." Jesus himself assures us that God's forgiveness knows no bounds. So be assured, we have been forgiven, and we have been set free to live the abundant and full lives that God has for us. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Each month, on communion days, we recite one of the great creeds of the Church. Today, would you recite the Apostles' Creed with me? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Mark 3, verses 20 to 35. And today, you know, Jesus is in Galilee and he's having some success and opposition. He entered the house, and once more such a crowd collected around them, that they had no chance to eat. When his family heard of this, they set out to take charge of him. For people were saying that he was out of his mind. The doctors of the law, too, who had come down from Jerusalem, said, "He is possessed by the devil. And he drives out devils by the prince of devils." So he called them to come forward and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. If a household is divided against itself, that house will never stand. And if Satan is in rebellion against himself, he is divided and cannot stand. And that is the end of him. On the other hand, no one can break into a strong man's house and make off with his goods unless he is first tied the strong man up, then he can ransack the house. I tell you this, no sin, no slander is beyond forgiveness for men, but whoever slanders the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven. He is guilty of eternal sin. He said this because they had declared that he was possessed with an unclean spirit. Then his mother and brothers arrived, remaining outside, sent in a message asking him to come out to them. A crowd was sitting around the word when the word was brought to him, "Your mother and brothers are outside asking for you." He replied, Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And looking around at those who were sitting in the circle about him, said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother." This is the word of God.
My mom was a great one for sayings. She had lots of them. As a younger person, I would sometimes roll my eyes whenever she would come out with them. But as I've gotten older, and now especially since she's been gone, I love to remember them. They feel like gentle touches of her still with me. One of my mom's sayings is one that I'm sure you've probably heard before. It's not unique. It was often uttered when I would be yelling, usually from the kitchen, wondering where was something that was supposed to be in the fridge for me. My mom would often appear and she would calmly open the fridge and reach in and pull out some little jar of yumminess that had been eluding me. And then she'd smile and she'd say, "Diane, if it had been a bear, it would have bitten you." Our reading today actually has me thinking fondly of that expression, and let me explain to you why. Over these past few weeks, we've been doing quite a bit of thinking together about how important it is for us to be able to discern God's leading of us and what God is doing around us. Now, I need to say that as central as this practice is to the Christian life, it's not always easy to do. So my hope, first of all, is that we can encourage each other as we grow in our confidence in discerning God and in what God is up to around here. None of us are masters at this. And the good news is that we don't actually need to get it right all the time. We just need to have the courage to try, and lots of grace for ourselves and for each other as we learn. If anything assures us that it is okay for us not to be perfect at this, it's a text like our reading today. Because as this story shows, anyone can find themselves struggling to recognize God working around them, even if God is doing that work through Jesus Christ himself. As we come to today's passage, let's start by recapping what has happened just before this. This is a time when things were getting pretty intense for Jesus and his disciples. He's been doing a lot of healing, and word about him was spreading. So people are coming from all over, some of them hoping to see a miracle happen firsthand, and others hoping to receive a miracle themselves. The crowds are pursuing him, and there is more need than Jesus is prepared to handle on his own. And so he calls and appoints 12 of his followers to help meet that need. He sends them out preaching and driving out demons themselves. Well, our reading for today starts as Jesus has arrived at what we think was probably Peter's house. And the crowds have found him there again and surrounded the house. Jesus' family are getting concerned for him, concerned that all of this intensity is taking a toll on him, and so they come to try to rescue him from the ruckus. At the same time, some teachers of the law also come, all the way from Jerusalem. They're trying to deal with him themselves, for different reasons. They were convinced that he was actually possessed, and was working in league with the prince of demons as he was doing all of those exorcisms. While our passage does show how Jesus brilliantly pointed out the flaw in their thinking in that, for today, I want us to set that argument aside and instead focus on unpacking what's happening in all of this. Here we have two different groups, both trying to stop Jesus from doing his ministry, each for their own reasons. There's his own family, and then there are some Jewish religious scholars. These are all people that you would expect to be pretty adept at discerning God. His own family had spent 30 years living with Jesus. And remember, Jesus was quite literally God with them. So you would think they would have figured it out. And the Jewish teachers, well, their whole lives had been dedicated to knowing God and God's ways and to training other people in them. Yet it's clear that all of these people seem unable to discern that in Christ, God was right there with them, working through all that he was doing. My mom would say, if he had been a bear, he would have bitten them. So the first thing that I hope we might remember from this passage is that if those two groups had a hard time discerning God's movement amongst them, then we shouldn't beat ourselves up too much when we find it challenging. We all have to learn and grow in this. So let's try. Let's do our best. Let's learn from what goes well and also from what doesn't. And above all, let's remember that if God's kingdom mission wasn't derailed by his family and those teachers' struggle to discern, it's not going to be derailed by ours either. So we don't need to be perfect in this. The second thing this story shows us is one of the pitfalls that we need to watch out for as we try to discern God together. It would seem that Jesus' family and those religious experts were both off in their discernment, at least in part, because he wasn't behaving according to their expectations. To them, his methods seemed questionable. For the religious authorities, Jesus was breaking far too many rules. He was doing all of those healings, and sometimes he was doing them on the Sabbath, on that most holy of days, when he shouldn't have been, in their estimation. He also had appointed those 12 men, apparently unqualified people, and had given them authority to go out and do ministry in his name. These were not men who had been duly trained and educated as they should have been. They were fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot, generally a pretty ragtag crew. The furthest thing from holy that you could imagine. And yet they were who he had chosen to be his disciples. Jesus was either oblivious to the conventions expected of respected religious leaders, or perhaps he was just completely disregarding them. Either way, for those teachers of the law, he wasn't doing things the way they thought he should. And so they came to the conclusion that the power by which he was doing those amazing healings was coming from someone other than God. Their discernment was off. Well, I suspect that Jesus' methods may have been confusing his family as well. With those crowds clamoring to get at him, things may have been getting somewhat chaotic. And it's possible that those dramatic exorcisms he was doing may have added to that intensity. I wonder if this concerned or perhaps even embarrassed his family. Perhaps they found themselves wishing he could just act like a nice, respectable rabbi. They may also have been concerned that he was being reckless. Remember, he had left the security of living with them and working at the family business to live as an itinerant rabbi, traveling all over the country and relying on the hospitality of others for food and shelter. And he seemed to be intent on tangling horns with the religious establishment, with men who have substantial power and influence in Israel. I actually don't have much difficulty imagining why Jesus' mother might have been concerned about him. And here is the lesson for us in this. They weren't able to recognize God working in and through Jesus because he was doing things so differently than they thought he should. They got so focused on his methods that they completely lost sight of his mission. Remember, God's mission is to heal all that he has created and restore us to the wholeness of life God has for us. This is always what God is doing. It's always the direction God is leading us. But as we see here, his family and the religious scholars couldn't see past how he was doing things to recognize that all of that healing he was doing, strange as it may seem, was entirely in line with God's work in the world. They lost sight of the mission. And when they did, they lost their ability to discern what God was doing. And that's a trap we can all fall into. You remember that our reading today actually ends with Jesus' family coming to try to get him again. And he points to the people he's sitting with and he says, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." He wasn't trying to disrespect or hurt his family when he said that. He was just trying to remind them that God's will for this world, his mission of restoration and reconciliation, is the point. And staying crystal clear about that, keeping God's mission right before us, that will take us a very long way towards discerning the ways that God might be leading us in the future. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, our Creator, we come in awe of your glory and majesty, with open, grateful hearts into your divine presence, knowing that you hear the prayers of your people. We give thanks, gracious Saviour, that the numbers of people becoming ill with COVID-19 are reducing across our province, and we are beginning to see the light at the end of the pandemic tunnel. Help us all to keep on with the procedures that will expedite the end of the restrictions on our lives. You, Jesus, are our hope and our salvation. So we thank you for all those who have worked so hard throughout the past 16 months for our health and well-being to bring us through this pandemic as safely as possible. We pray for wisdom as we look to reopening the church building as restrictions lessen, and we look to your Spirit of grace for compassion and empathy as we communicate with people getting their heads around gathering once again to celebrate and worship you. We are already anticipating the overwhelming joy of being together again. Lord of life, we have been horrified and shocked beyond comprehension this past week at the finding of 215 children in unmarked graves at this place that should never have held them. We thank you that they have been found, and we pray in unity with the people from whom those young souls were taken, the prayer written by Reverend Murray Pruden, the Executive Minister, with the Indigenous Ministries and Justice at the United Church of Canada. Creator, we give thanks for this day and each day you grant us life to walk on this great land, our Mother. Give us the heart and strength to come together in prayer, in time of mourning, reflection, and peace. The news we have heard these last few days of our relations, our families, the children who have been physically taken away from us and who have now been found. And with this news, we grieve for their memory, for their struggle, for their spirit. We pray for good understanding, guidance, and love for all our families and communities who will need direction and resolution at this time. And we come together in prayer and ask for your light to guide us, to be a part of that needed peace, support, and resolve for everyone who is reacting to this great tragedy in our Indigenous nations of this great land. Creator, be with us. Allow us to be brave. Allow us to be strong. Allow us to be gentle to one another. Allow us to be humble. But most of all, allow us to be like the Creator's love. Peace be with us. We lift our prayers up to you. In love, trust and truth. Peace be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Friends, welcome to Jesus' table. May God be with us. God is here among us. Let us open our hearts to God. We open them to God and to one another. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. We thank you, God, creator of us all. From the beginning, you made the world and all its creatures. You made people to live for you and for one another. We praise you, O God. We praise you, O God. You created Adam and Eve and gave them a garden. You showed Noah a rainbow. You gave Moses strength to free your people and taught Miriam to sing. You gave courage to Esther and loyalty to Ruth. You gave David a harp to sing your praise and helped him defeat the giant. We praise you, O God. We praise you, O God. Yet even they turned away from you and forgot about you as we do too. But you did not forget. You sent Jesus to the world to show how much you love us and to bring us back to you again. We praise you, O God. We praise you, O God. He came as one of us, first an infant, then a child, later a youth, and then an adult. He rejoiced with those who rejoiced and wept with those who wept. To the despairing, he spoke a word of hope. To the sick, he gave healing. To the hurting, he was a friend. Still, people turned away from you. They betrayed Jesus and nailed him to a cross. But he was lifted from the grave and restored to life that he might be with us and we with him, alive forevermore. Therefore, with all the saints of every time and place, we join the angels in their praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We gather at this table to remember that on the night before he died, Jesus ate with his friends. He took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." That same night, Jesus also took a cup and, after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We remember Jesus' death and we celebrate his resurrection. We await with hope his coming again to bring peace and justice to the earth. And we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send, O God, your Holy Spirit upon us and what we do here, that we and these gifts, touched by your Spirit, may be signs of life and love to one another and to the world. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, God most holy, now and forever. Amen. With Jesus, we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to consume the elements in your homes. Please join me in saying the prayer after communion. We give thanks that bread broken brings wholeness, that wine poured out replenishes, that time spent with the risen Christ and one another is gift and grace. Amen.
Your tithes and offerings are gratefully received and go to help the mission and work of this particular congregation and the wider church through the Mission and Service Fund. Would you pray with me the prayer over these gifts? Generous and giving God, we give these gifts knowing that you have entrusted them all to us. As we have been abundantly provided for, so we give abundantly to the work you give us to do, sharing your love in all its forms with all the world. Accept these gifts, we return to you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Each week, we thank you for your faithful giving. And some of that giving comes here to our congregation locally, and some of it goes further afield, some to our denomination's Mission and Service Fund and the work that they do. The Mission and Service Fund have released a video thanking you for your support, and you can see that video by going to our church website. So I want to encourage you to do that, to check it out, and to see the ways that your faithful giving to the Mission and Service Fund has made a difference in people's lives, especially in this past most challenging of years. So I encourage you to check out the church website and give that video a watch. And thank you for your support of the Mission and Service Fund and the work that they do. Sisters and brothers in Christ, go forth into all the world. Go forth with forgiveness and grace. Go forth with compassion and love. Go as Christ's family for all the world to see. And as you go, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storms. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.